Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And first, right off the top, we wanted to say a big thank you to Skirmish Play's presenting sponsor on the podcast, CNG Paving. If you want your paving and asphalt done right the first time, you want CNG to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. And just a big thank you for Jeff and CNG for what they've done for us, stepping in here and helping make this possible. And a big thanks as well to the Patreon folks that have come on board with us lately. We really appreciate it, and it certainly helps keep us rolling and keep us out there covering all the games and all the stuff that we're out there covering. And let's just jump right into it. A very an interesting week, for sure, across Central Virginia. And some teams getting their first win. Some teams winning games in maybe a little bigger fashion than we thought. And I think that's got to start with Louisa and Almar. That was the big one that you got to see out there at Louisa.
Yeah, kind of an interesting one out there in Miller. It was kind of a sloppy game in the first half. I don't think Louisa was too happy with the way things worked out for them. Albemarle came out and, really good energy from them, getting that first touchdown. Jaquan Anderson, despite the final score in this one, he had himself a game. He really did everything that he could to sort of put his team in it. But the Louisa defense is just so stifling. They gave up that one score, and they didn't give up another until late in the fourth quarter. I feel like physically Louisa just sort of established its dominance on the ground game. And they've got so many different rushers that they can put in there. And slowly but surely, it's a 13-6 game at the half. And Louisa just came out in that third quarter. And I just don't think Albemarle had the juice to stop that over and over again. The 2-yard gains were becoming 3 and 4 yard gains, and slowly the grind just sort of wears you down. We talk about it with Louisa all the time. That's their MO. That's how they work. Goochland, same way. These teams that just pound it at you,
they bleed you out.
Yeah, man. And the second half is always the killer. Mm-hmm. So you got to beat these teams, you have to come out and do what Albemarle did in that first quarter, and it's just jack up the score. I mean, I don't know. Based on what we know about Albemarle's offense and its potential, the way Louisa's defense played in this one, I don't know who's going to score on Louisa. I'm really looking forward to Louisa Monticello, because I feel like that's going to be
strength on strength, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's maybe the best offense in the district versus the best defense. That's going to be a really fun one to see how those sort of cancel out, or if they cancel out. But in this one, I mean, if you're Albemarle, okay, the hard part of your schedule's through. Now it's just keep your chin up and work on the rest. You're going to be fine. Kayshawn Allen had a great game. Just got to find a way to get the ball in his hands more often. Anderson's going to do his thing. They're going to be fine.
And obviously they knew what they were getting into with this first four games, but now they face a Monticello team that's pretty good too this week.
Yeah.
So, no real rest for the weary, but it certainly is going to get a little bit more manageable for them moving forward. That's a winnable game with Monticello.
And that's a classic trap game if you're Monticello, because you have Spotswood is the one team that you played that has been, closer to their level. Albemarle is better than a Spotswood.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful. You're going up against a completely different monster there.
Yeah.
And an angry mean one that's, you know, sitting there at 1-3, not too happy about
it. Yeah, I believe Almar lost this Louisa game early last year as well, and then they came out.
Almar was 2-2 and one out until
like a ball of fire. 1-3 is not a killer for them. I mean, for starters, they're in the playoffs. That's how their system works in Region 5D, so they're in. 12 teams in. This is about seeding. This is about improving things. This is about getting yourself right for the postseason and making sure that you're avoiding. You don't want to be playing the number five team in that region. You want to be, well, you probably want to be the number five team. You know, I think that's really ideal. And they're going to chance to play Orange, which will give them, you know, a chance to move up in that, who's also in that region. We got to look at the first VHSL PowerPoint ratings this week. Louisa's right up there, as you expect, and Monticello's number two in that, you know, region, and that's a really good start for them. But, you know, the power ratings, like, it doesn't take into account everything. You know, I mean, and it's tough to gauge right now if this is how it'll shake out down the road. But there's a lot of football left to be played. You expect Albemarle to move up. You expect...
Yeah, and the ratings can be deceptive. I mean, I think we always talk about it. Look at what Waynesboro did a couple years ago as like a 16 seed. Just making everybody nervous. So you never really know what you're going to get with some of these lower seeds because the schedules are so different. You know, some of these schools that are playing against much bigger opponents, they come in with a shoddy record, but they're battle-tested.
Well, it's like Orange is, you know, I think sitting in six or something, which is a great position for them. But at the same time, they took on an Eastern View squad, and there's other teams in that region that probably haven't played those kind of teams yet. So they played a Charlottesville that is you know, bum rushing people right now with that offense. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those sort of play out. But tell me more about, you know, we've gotten to see a Louisa squad. They, like you said, the defense is really good. They're wearing you down. They're kind of doing those things. You know, what about like a guy like Jarrett Hunter that's kind of stepping up and playing big for them?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a shifty playmaker. You see him sort of dancing on the sidelines when he breaks loose and just making people miss. I mean, the fact that it's the rich getting richer because you have Malik Bell and Waylon who are just, I mean, they just pound you out. And then Jarrett Hunter comes in. David Sharp with 3 touchdowns in that game. All of them basically the same play. And really nice job of play calling there, just sort of setting you up for the kill when you're just constantly working inside, and then boom, all of a sudden it kicks out.
Yeah. It's body shot, uppercut with that squad.
And they and Mark Fisher talked about it. They want to open up the playbook and get the ball downfield. You know, Sharp had a really nice reception. And this one, they want to work the ball to Brandon
Smith.
Hands,
man. Yeah.
I mean, they haven't gotten Brandon Smith involved.
Good point. Brandon Smith, also good hands.
Yeah. So, I mean, Louisa's going to get a little more creative. In this game, though, they didn't want to take any chances. They just did what they do. But I think you're going to see them work on sort of diversifying their offense a little bit. And they're pretty confident in Bell's ability to get the ball downfield. You can tell he wants to do it. You know, they tried a couple times in that game, but just sort of stuck to the basics after that. And yeah, Louisa, I mean, they are who we thought they were, kind of thing. This is where we were last year with them, and then the injuries started to kick in. So the real thing for them going forward is staying healthy. And I think with a guy like Jarrett Hunter allows you to do that. You know, keep some of the touches down. Raekwon Jones, all these guys are getting equal distribution when it comes to carries. And that's going to be huge for them going forward.
And they're in a really tough region. I mean, Monacan is the number one seed in that right now, according to the first VHSL power ratings. I mean, Eastern View is the number five in that region.
We know what they are, yeah.
That is a tough, tough region. I mean, you know, you got Cortland and Chancellor are outside the playoff picture in that right now.
That almost never happens.
Yeah, I mean, and Powhatan is sitting down at 12 out of 13 in this region. The 13-team region, Louise is sitting at 3 right now. If they can kind of keep it rolling, that's at least where they would sit. But we know what that Monacan team is. We know what Dinwiddie, you know, they've got some tough squads in front of them. So business is going to pick up for the Lions at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the other big game you got to see was Saturday, Blue Ridge versus Covenant, a battle of an unbeaten squad in Covenant, and then a Blue Ridge squad that we know how talented they are. And their only loss came to a really, really good Flint Hill squad, and Blue Ridge was able to kind of put it together and run away in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting game. The second quarter, I think in like 3 minutes, each team had a touchdown back and forth. I mean, for Covenant, you got to give Donovan Jackson, you got to give him a lot of credit. He really sort of tried to grind it out and keep his team in it. you know, maybe that game looks different. The final score wise, maybe it's not 41-14. Maybe it's, you know, 41-35. If John Hamme doesn't get knocked out in that one, he took a pretty hard hit late in the second quarter. Covenant has a chance to make it a one possession game there late in the second quarter, and they just can't convert in the red zone on fourth down. And then all of a sudden, Sammy Ford breaks off an 82-yard touchdown run. Really nice play by Xavier Kane at quarterback to get him the ball, and then even nicer play by Ford to cash it in for the points. Blue Ridge looked really good offensively, you know, all game long, and defensively they did a nice job of clamping down. Juan Mareko, I thought, played a fantastic game. Aiden Britton, very well played at linebacker as well. Blue Ridge looks like they've done a nice job of rebounding for that Flint Hill game and getting themselves ready for North Cross, which is it's a short week. They got to play on Thursday. That's the only team that beat them last year.
Flint Hill beat them last year.
Sorry, that was the last team they lost to.
Last team they lost to, yeah.
And that was a really young North Cross team, so they're 1 year older, 1 year stronger, and it's the team they saw in the state final. So they're familiar with their opponent there.
Kane's stat line in this Covenant game was bonkers. He's like 8 of 9.
Yeah.
Like one incompletion is
him
is
and George
crazy.
McGuire had a thing going.
Five catches for McGuire. McGuire's a big tight end out of Texas. Mareko was the tight end on this squad the last couple of years. He's obviously still factoring in a big way, but McGuire's that kind of game breaker you can get at tight end if they can figure out how to use him and use him consistently, changes things.
And of those 8 of 9, I would say 4 or 5 of them, Kane's under heavy pressure and he just gets out of it. He's slippery. He's so patient though. I was really impressed with just the way he just kept sticking with it, and he could easily try and just bounce it out for a 5-yard gain, but he kept staying behind the line of scrimmage.
So he's extending plays, looking to make a pass rather than extending plays and then running.
Yeah, and it's just the vision that he has back there, like that's hard to teach. And he just looked so comfortable. You know, he played some quarterback last year. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's always impressive when you see somebody extend a play that long. And I know for Covenant defensively, that just made things nightmarish because coverage starts to break down, and then things start to open up. And you know, if you can't get after the quarterback, I mean, what do you do?
No question. So, Covenant got to go retool things, work
They've
on things
a little
bit. Got
coming up. Covenant's gonna be just fine. They got to get Hemi back at quarterback. You know, that meant having to drop Nick Sanker back into quarterback. That's a new job for him. I thought Seth Wilson had a great line saying, you know, it's like if you're trying to teach someone math for the first time and you throw them a calculus textbook. Like it's just, you know, making those reads and doing that job properly. Hemi's been doing it for a while. And then that takes one of the Covenant's best playmakers out of, you know, wide receiver position, the guy that you can give the ball to there, and puts him under a quarterback. It's just, in the second half, they needed more guns, and they didn't have them. But they're going to be just fine. Jackson is just such a monster back there. Covenant, I would not be surprised to see them bounce back, you know, with another 3-0 run, and put things back together.
So the most ridiculous high-scoring game of the weekend out there in Orange, Charlottesville and Orange, Charlottesville's offense completed one pass and still scored 57 points. That's crazy. We know what they are. We know their identity. But 192 yards each for Sam Neill and Sabias Foley. 4 touchdowns for Foley. 1 in there for Neill. Another one for Trey Durrett. Another one for Keamy Davis. I mean, that's an incredible offense that they're able to put together. And Orange, a great offense with just a couple of turnovers away from that one just going and ending up at like 80-80.
Yeah.
On the flip side in overtime. So, without a couple of turnovers, it's a little different game for Orange. But those two offenses, really impressive performances.
Yeah, and Charlottesville seems like they're just hell-bent on giving Eric Cherry a stroke between the Harrisonburg game and this. It just seems like I think that they're going to be the most interesting team to watch just because they're never out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We
saw last year where they beat Louisa.
There's something about this group. they're just really fun. They want to play in these high pressure environments. So the games are always going to be close. We'll see. Their schedule starts to really crank up too. It's going to be fun watching Monticello and Charlottesville. It's going to be fun watching Charlottesville, Louisa. Mm-hmm. There's just going to be a lot of sort of back and forth offense going on in contrasting styles. I mean, that's what's cool about this one was you know, Orange does, you know, their spread deal, and they get the ball in so many different hands. I mean, Washington
and then Alexander game. Runs for 320-something yards. Yeah. I mean, that is – Jalen Alexander, obviously, we know what kind of athlete he is, and he just is taking advantage of, like you said, this spread set that they're running. Kenyon Carter threw it all over the place, too. Threw a couple of touchdowns. Got the Minor kid involved, who is
Minor
really
Washington
fast.
Are really good. I mean,
yeah, and Ty Warren's hanging out there. He had a touchdown catch, too.
And we saw last week Siobhan Ellis getting involved. I mean, so Orange has just got a lot of guys.
A lot of weapons. If they can figure out a couple of things, if they can shore a few things up defensively, they have the offense that it can be really, really dangerous. And considering that they have already taken that loss to Charlottesville and the loss to Eastern View, they're sitting at 6 in Region 5D. They got to feel pretty good about things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
and it's a tough, very tough region. I mean, the number one is Stafford. Number two is Brook Point. Number three is Massaponics. Like, breaking into that.
Old Commonwealth District.
Yeah, North police. Stafford's at 4. I mean, breaking into that. And Patrick Henry-Rono could beat Almore's at 5. So, a really tough top half of the bracket. And Harrisonburg's sitting at 8. And we know they're a pretty darn good football team, too. So, a lot to watch when it comes to Orange and kind of how they position themselves for the playoffs going forward. But a team, we talked about it right off the top, one team getting its first win, and we knew it was going to happen between Madison and Monroe. Monroe gets it done and finishes what's such a big-time rivalry game. And those two squads always sort of bring their best against them. And you got to like what Chandler Rhodes is doing, though, over at Madison. And he's doing a really nice job. He kept them in that one. They've been in it. In two games in a row, they were in the Fluvanna game as well, and they're just playing with a roster that is so exceedingly young. Just a lot of guys that are filling new roles and playing expanded roles, and you gotta like what he's doing. But William Monroe finishes the job. They're really physical right down the stretch. They did a nice job of managing the clock to score with like three, four seconds left, and close the door on it, and showing some guts there too from John Rocha. I mean, you know, he could have kicked that field goal and played it safe, but goes in there.
Yeah, you want to ice that one
over. Yeah, you don't want. They'd already taken a kickback, I think, too. So.
Well, and Monroe had been so close in the previous 2 weeks. You just didn't want that feeling if you're them. Like, oh, maybe there's a potential somebody coming back. You got to just put that nail in the coffin.
One of the chances the team goes like 99 on you anyway. I like that move. I think that's the right call. That's the aggressive call, but it's the right call. So. Really exciting to see Monroe kind of get off that snag, get over the hump a little bit. Zach Miller with the great run to finish it. Jaquan Wayne had a really nice job. They're using him in a different way and running the ball a little more. And the Kinsey kid, man, he's slinging the ball all around. He's kind of getting a lot of different guys involved.
It's not been for a lack of offense from Monroe.
No, they put up great numbers. Kinsey, Gray, both those guys are up there high in their you know, local rankings as far as passing yards and rushing yards or receiving yards for Gray. Jordan Gray catches everything. He's a heck of a football player. So great to see William Monroe kind of turn things around and then, you know, hopefully they can kind of get it headed in the right direction going forward. But they play some Northwestern District squads that we don't know a great deal about right now, but we're going to learn. So that takes us in. That's sort of a good recap of what's, you know, went on this week. And then that kind of takes us into our awards segment here. And let's start with the skill position guys. And you've talked about him a little bit already, but Sammy Fort out there at Blue Ridge is just a tremendous performer.
Yeah, I mean, this was Blue Ridge's first home game in basically a year. So it's the first time we've sort of been able to see them at home.
It took a long time.
Yeah, man. So I mean, Fort's been doing a good job. It's just now we got to see it, you know, up live, close and personal and all that. He's just a really talented running back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got great speed. He's a physical guy. He doesn't shy away from contact. He had 120 on the ground, another 80 in the air, 3 touchdowns. And I just thought he was exactly what that offense needs if you're shifting everything over. Losing Armwood means you had to put Kane at quarterback, and you got to slide things around. Having him as it's the first year for him with the team, and he fits right in. And that offense looks really good. They're going to be really good going forward. We'll see. They'll be able to use him in a lot of what we saw with Covenant. They can use him in a lot of passing situations. He's going to be able to sort of shed a block and then get downfield, catch the ball, and turn it up. And that's if you're an offensive coordinator, that's so much fun to play with.
If you're a defensive coordinator, that's going to keep you up at night. I mean, a nightmare at the high school level to deal with a back who can do both. You like Marshall Faulk is a nightmare for everybody, you know, to kick it way back. And he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
He can run it. He's very physical, good runner, and he can get out on the edge in the passing game and really make some things happen. So, yeah, heck of a football player, obviously, and a great addition to what Blue Ridge is doing up there. Defensively, we already know what this guy's pedigree is.
Yeah.
But
when the big-time games show up and you see the big-time player, I mean, Brandon Smith had himself a game. And, you know, he had a 53-yard rushing touchdown, and that's all good and
great. Wonderful. That's gravy for this guy.
But what he did defensively, you cannot run away from him. Mm-mm. It's not possible. Almirall tried, and there's just no getting away from him. When he's in the middle of the field, he just owns it. And every time you heard a loud crack, I'd look up and I'd see, like, oh, is that Joe Whalen or someone? It's always Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
There's just
not to say those other guys aren't good.
No, and the guys on the edge, like Whalen, they had great games. But Brandon Smith just, I mean, asserted himself in this one. There was nothing that you could do to get the ball up the middle of the field. Almirall really had to sort of work the ball to Kayshawn Allen on the outside. And really didn't get to establish a ground game up the middle because Smith, every time they did, he was there to answer the call. And we're going to see going forward how teams sort of try and play call against having an elite defender sort of just, I mean, ball hawking the middle of the field. He takes away an entire part of the field, and that's problematic when it's in the middle.
Yeah. He's obviously a heck of a football player. That's why it's so many teams, you know, so many colleges. He can play for... Look, once you have an Alabama offer, I think you can just play for whoever you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about where he's going to want to go.
He's still got a lot of high school football left.
Yeah,
we're talking about him like he's a senior.
It's not over.
Yeah.
It's not over. And while the skill guys are always impressive, we're really a special award here that we put together with our friends at CNG, the CNG Paving Road Grader of the Week. And this guy exuded road grader in this one, and not only that, he was carrying around some kind of crazy Viking hammer after the game.
Props. So, we're a big fan of props.
Dude, props. Skirmish Play has always been pro props. If you have a prop, if you have the axe.
Hammers, axes.
If you have an axe down at Buckingham Athletics, we want to be a part of that. I mean, we're always a fan of these things. Huge, big lumberjack hammer that John Richardson from William & Row was carrying around. And Richardson represents a line that did a tremendous job against Madison County. They ended up rushing for somewhere around 300-something yards. 351 yards, 165 from Jaquan Wayne alone. Just a tremendous performance. He had a hammer. That makes it about as easy as it gets when it comes to Road Grader of the Week. John Richardson with a really big performance. And you got to give it up to that waiver row line. They've done a nice job of protecting Kinsey so far. They've done a really nice job of clearing some lanes for whoever's been running the ball. It's been a different guy. And they just that line keeps showing up. So really impressive performance. And then two other guys that definitely deserve a shout-out as far as the offensive line play goes. Sam Neill gave him, you know, the Charlottesville quarterback Sam Neill. He pointed him out after the game to our reporter Liz Keller that was up there. Larry Henderson, Trajan Bryant, those guys cleared the way for, I mean, that's more than 400 yards rushing, almost 500 yards rushing, 192 apiece for Neil and Foley, like we said earlier. I mean, you got to give it up for those guys. They're clearing paths. They're making things happen.
Yeah, I mean, for Moreau to have Richardson, they needed the physical push up front. That's been what they've been waiting for.
Big, huge dude.
Having that's huge for them. And then over at Charlottesville, that's a line that had to do some retooling. And you got to be impressed with what they've done these just first 4 weeks.
Because they lost, what, Kruzewski?
J.D. Buckles. But
I was talking to Rowe, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, Charlottesville, yes.
I mean, they're both sort of in the same position.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Charlottesville, it seems like they haven't skipped a beat.
Yeah.
Kudos to them. That's a great performance.
They're
not clicking. Just against Orange, but all 4 weeks.
And they got to be technicians, man. That triple option, you know, I had the pleasure of running that a couple of times as a young man. And it requires you to be a technician with your feet. It requires you to be right on it. I played in zone blocking schemes, and nothing against zone blocking schemes, but it's a little simpler. A lot of times it's a little easier. But that triple option, you really got to kind of be on yourself. Sort of like that wing tee, those old offenses require a lot of thinking from those linemen. And those guys are doing a great job of kind of working through that and making that happen. So that brings us, that takes us through the awards, brings us to next week. And there are a few big games to watch. But sort of a transitionary slate before we get it. It is going to be bonkers after this week.
Yeah, I think you can get caught looking ahead to the week after. There's so many games there. This week, I mean, you got Blue Ridge North Cross in the rematch of the state title game on Thursday early on. We'll see, that's going to be a big one. Blue Ridge looks so good against Covenant, struggled against Flint Hill. How are they going to look against North Cross? That's sort of a real barometer game. And then, the big one, Monticello-Albemarle.
Yeah, Albemarle are going to be looking to try and bounce back, try and get on track here. And get things situated, but they got to do it against a Monticello offense that is hitting on all cylinders right now. There's just no question about it. And so, has Monticello played a defense like this yet?
I don't think so.
Maybe not, and probably not. So. Especially with what they were able to do early against Louisiana.
I don't think that they've had to deal with defensively. I don't think they've had to deal with a Jaquan Anderson yet.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really, like, we're going to really see how good Monticello is if they come out and just do what they've done in the previous 4 weeks, then watch out.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to get it. This is going to be a great battle. I mean, the quarterback play here is so good. It's just two guys. I mean, last year this was a fantastic game, uh-huh. And Monticello's only gotten better. So I think we're going to see this one come down to the wire.
So a lot to look forward to this week. A lot coming up in the next couple of weeks. Really appreciate you listening, and hope you come back and listen with us next week.